Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you and in the house of the Lord together. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 120. Psalm 120 is the ninth of the psalms, or the songs of ascent. This collection of psalms is a psalter within the psalter. It's a group of islands as we leave the continent of Psalm 119. And so this particular psalm speaks of God's blessing. So please listen attentively as I read from God's holy and inerrant word. Psalm 128, a song of ascents. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we praise you because you are who you are. There is none like you, who created all things, who sustains our lives, who blesses us with gifts that we certainly do not deserve, and who does so personally. Lord, you are above all, and yet you condescend to show grace to your creatures. Lord, send your Holy Spirit now that we might understand these words. And I pray that grace would be given me that I might open my mouth to boldly proclaim the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What was it like for Adam to open up his eyes and see the garden which God had planted, to awake from the deep sleep which God had given him, and behold, for the first time, his wife, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, corresponding to me? And imagine that garden, lush, fruitful, abounding in the blessings of God. But can you imagine how out of place it would be if Adam were to somehow walk to a corner of the garden and find a tree barren, a diseased tree, a tree not bearing any fruit, a plot of land scorched and devoid of any grass? How out of place. In fact, what a horrible thing that would be. But this psalm speaks of the blessings that God gives to His creatures. And we'll see parallels between these blessings and the blessings that Adam had in the garden. And we'll see that God does not leave His creatures to barrenness, but His blessings bring fruitfulness. And so in this passage, God is telling you, fear the Lord and trust in His blessings. Fear the Lord and trust in His blessings. Now notice that first of all, this psalm instructs you to be wise and to fear the Lord. We see that in two verses. Verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Verse 4, behold, thus shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Did you hear Hear that repetition there? That repeated idea of fearing the Lord. Have you thought about what exactly that means? A while back, you remember Japan was hit by a tsunami. And I remember sitting at my computer and pulling up a video shot firsthand by someone as the waves came crashing in. And at first, I saw, okay, there's a trickle of water. And you might see that at the beach. And then another swell. And suddenly large objects, public mailboxes, automobiles being shifted by the waves as they came in. And then the camera shifted to look into the horizon, and entire buildings were being moved from their foundations as water flooded in. I could tell that the person taking the footage was frightened. He ran to higher ground, and in fact, even in my seat, I felt fear. What power in those waves! And does it not strike you that our God is a God to be feared? He is powerful. And yet, when those waves came in, it drove the man shooting the film to go look to higher ground. There is no higher ground than God, is there? And so when the Psalms speak about fearing the Lord, when this Psalm speaks about fearing the Lord, who do we turn to? We turn to Him. This call to fear the Lord is also a call to you to trust in Him. There is no one higher. He is both to be feared, and He is both someone in whom you can place your confidence. And this idea of fear of the Lord is found throughout the Psalter. We see it in Psalm 119. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And another passage from the Psalter. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, I said from the Psalter, because that sounds like the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is repeated throughout all the wisdom literature. It's a saying of the wise. It's a saying that Solomon would have said, the wisest man on earth. Wisdom literature, like Job, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs, in some ways it speaks to us in a way that doesn't always correspond one-to-one with our experience, though. Because like in the book of Job, we know that God protects the righteous. And He will judge the wicked. And yet, Job, a righteous man, suffered. Wisdom literature often puts things before our eyes to make us wrestle with the fact that we are creatures. And God... It is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Because everything that we know is dependent upon Him. And so it's fitting that this Psalm 128 has this key theme of fear of the Lord. That wisdom theme. Because look where it comes in the Psalter. The Psalm immediately preceding is Psalm 127. Which is a song of ascent of Solomon. It's a wisdom psalm. And the two of these, if you look at them together, it's as if they're placed next to each other, this and this. And when you put them together, they match. And yet, you have to be wise to see how they match. And so, this is a call to be wise. This is a call to fear the Lord. But notice that this is a call for a productive fear of the Lord. Back to verse 1. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. This is a fear of the Lord that changes where you place your footsteps. It has an impact in your life. So let me ask you, do you fear the Lord? Do you trust in Him? Because in Him there is profound blessing. Because that's connected in both of these verses. Verse 1, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Verse 4, behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And of course, I mentioned there are these parallels. The preceding psalm also speaks about blessing. 127 verse 5, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with children. And in fact, this theme of blessing runs even before these two psalms. In fact, the very first word in the Psalter, blessed. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of sinners. In fact, some have said that the entire Psalter is a handbook to God's blessing. This psalm centers in on blessing, and it shows just facet by facet the blessingness that God has laid out for His people. So, of course, blessing didn't begin with the Psalter. Do you remember back to Genesis? God created man, male and female, and He said to them, and He blessed them, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. God blessed His creation from the very beginning. And so we see that we should be reminded that God is not aloof from His creation. Yes, God is transcendent. Yes, when God speaks about what He knows, it is something that He alone knows in the way that only He can. And yet He speaks truthfully. And He concerns Himself with blessing His creatures, even though the separation between them is great. He condescends. He came down to Adam and Eve and blessed them. And what is God's blessing in that Genesis narrative, in the garden? Wasn't that God giving means to do what He had commanded them? Isn't that God making His creation fruitful, having wholeness of life, being in communion with Him? This psalm gives us a picture, a similar picture of that blessing. So we'll see it in a few parts. Notice first that God blesses the labors of our hands with fruit. Verse 2. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. This word happy, it's another word that could mean blessed. And notice the figure it uses here. It talks about fruit. What do you think of when you think about fruit? Do you think about grapefruit? Well, there was a saying in my household, instead of calling cantaloupe, you called it candylope, because it's so sweet. It's delightful to sink your teeth into an apple freshly picked. Or have you ever had a mango? My, just the flavor is just exploding in your mouth. And the juice is nourishing to your body. A fatigued farmer wants to enjoy the fruit of his labors. These are good things. Fruitfulness is a blessing from God. But notice that it has to be from God. Another translation says, you shall eat of the fruit of the labor of your hands. But remember, no matter how calloused your hands might be, you can't make it rain. And you can't make the sun to shine. The Lord rewards our labors, but we are always dependent upon Him. And it was that way from the very beginning. Remember, Adam in the garden was put in the garden to work it and to keep it. Genesis 2:15. And at the same time, God was generous. He blessed Adam by giving him fruit. God, when He planted that garden, made to sprout out of the garden every tree that is pleasant for sight, pleasant to the sight, and good for food. Even before Adam had even stretched out his hand to do any work in the garden, God had already made it fruitful for him to enjoy. Such blessingness from our God. But do you get that satisfaction from your labors? Tell me honestly, when you went to work last Friday, 8 a.m.? Did you feel like you're biting into a delicious piece of fruit? Maybe that doesn't quite match our experience, does it? Because we can't get around the fact that God, because of Adam's sin, has cursed the ground. You and I deal with thorns and thistles. And in fact, the psalm preceding this picks up on that. It says, "It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil." Perhaps your experience more recently has been toil and not the fruit of the labor of your hands. And yet, don't you still get glimpses of it? Aren't there times that you don't want to leave the lab? You don't want to go home. You want to finish up with what you're working on. You enjoy the things that God has given you to labor on. Aren't there times that you look back in the past year and you see the things that you've been able to do, and you rejoice that God has given you fruitfulness in the things that He's called you to do. So God does bless our labors, and His blessing extends to our homes. He gives you a faithful, fruitful wives in which to delight. We see that in verse 3. "Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house." Now again, the psalm uses this idea of fruitfulness. A vine, it draws nutrients from the dirt. It draws water from down there, and it brings it up. And it puts that and makes it sweet and delicious fruit. That's the picture of the wife in your home. She is a blessing to you. And so, maybe you're asking, "Hold on, Joe. That's a great picture of a wife, but I'm single." And maybe you want to throw in an elbow there and say, "I don't like being single." Well, this is wisdom literature. And in some situations, we need to hold this in tension with the rest of Scripture. Sometimes marriage isn't the best. Perhaps you're not mature enough to be married. Or perhaps you're in a time of persecution, and God wants to spare you the additional burden that a marriage would put you in. But consider this. If you are a Christian, you are already married. You are the bride of Christ. And so we can often be discontent looking for the blessing that God hasn't chosen to give us yet. But God does want you to serve your spouse faithfully. And consider that this blessing is from God, and you must be patient and wait in God's timing. Jacob labored 7 years, and God will provide. God provided for Adam in the garden. Again, the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper for him." And what did Adam say when he opened up his eyes and beheld the woman? "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The first poem in the Bible. And it is a husband's delight in his wife. She alone corresponds to him. She alone fits with him. And so if you are married, do you delight in your wife? Or do you tell jokes about her when you're out with the guys? Or are you letting your affections go astray? Delight in your wife. She is good for you. She is a blessing from God. And notice that your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Why does he say within your house? Now, we know, as we compare this with Proverbs 31, that this doesn't mean that she's a prisoner in her own home. The psalmist says, that Proverbs speaks about her going out as merchant ships from afar, bringing in wealth to her home. She's not only there in the home. But the psalmist says, "in your home" here, because the husband is confident that his wife is not astray. She is faithful to him. And that the labors of her hand are a blessing in his home. He trusts her. He takes delight in her. He knows that she is a blessing to him from God himself. And as the husband's labors are blessed, as the labors of his hands are blessed, so the labors of her hands are blessed as well. And we see in Proverbs 31:31, "Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her within the gates." It was as male and female that God blessed them. And the preceding psalm speaks of another way in which she is blessed. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." Fruitfulness. Literal children are a blessing from the Lord. And so, what about your coworker? And she says, she has a wife. What do you say to her? Well, God says in this psalm something that sometimes we're not very bold to say. She says, "I have a wife. We love each other. Isn't that the same thing?" Well, no. The picture of God's design is fruitfulness. And for every homosexual union, you are keeping the other person from enjoying this fruitfulness, enjoying the fruit of children, the fruit of the womb. Homosexuality is sterile. It is incapable of producing fruit. But children are a blessing. We see that in the next verse, the second half of verse 3. "He gives you children. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." Now, olives have a very different connotation in America. They're usually the part of the salad that you kind of brush off. But in Palestine, olives are essential. You can crush an olive and get its oil. And oil is your medicine. Oil is your cosmetic. When the wind is blowing against your face, drying you out, literally, you can wash yourself with oil and be refreshed. When you get wounded, you can put oil on it and it will prevent salts and sands from infecting the wound. Oil is a blessing. And that would make olives a blessing. And how much more a blessing are olive shoots? Individual plants themselves, with enough nurture and care, able to produce their own olives. This is a picture of blessedness. Our children are an investment in the future, wholeness and security. And this also is a blessing we see from the beginning. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth." Yet again, sometimes this doesn't resonate with our experience. I've heard it said, there was a time when Shawnee was praying for children. As hard as that is to believe now. And yet, perhaps there are some here that want to have children, and God hasn't given them yet. Sarai was barren to old age. Rachel could not conceive. God is not aloof from the struggles that you are enduring. He's a father to the fatherless. He delights in being the God of the childless, the barren woman. So cry out to God and He will hear you. And keep in mind that in heaven we won't be married or given in marriage. So said our Lord Jesus. I don't think we'll be having more children. But what will we have around our table? We'll have all the elect. We'll have even our friend from work that we shared the Lord Jesus Christ with. And God gave fruit and he believed. We'll spend eternity with our friend. That's the picture that's given here. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table, fellowshipping, enjoying one another's company. The preceding psalm again says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." So children are an inheritance from the Lord. They are not a choice. They are not a lump of flesh. And they're also not just a hindrance for you going out on Friday night. We need to catch ourselves. What God calls a blessing, we need to believe is a blessing. Children are for your good. They're an investment in your future, in your security. They're a pledge of God's blessing you in the future. So don't degrade them. And the blessing extends not only to your children, but to your children's children, and even to you in them. Verse 6a, may you see your children's children. God gives long life to his people. He blesses his chosen ones. And it's a delight to return and to see fathers in the Lord, still in old age, rejoicing in God's providence now. So lastly, we see God's blessings spill over as blessings to his kingdom. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. At the very end, peace be upon Israel. Did you notice something odd here? The Lord bless you from Zion. It's like, okay, you're not in Zion. He has to, from Zion, bless you. And yet, may you see prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. It's as if you're within eyesight, and yet you're far enough that he has to bless you from it. Do you sense that tension? Well, that's because this is a song of ascents. This is a song that's intended to be, it's as if you've got one foot at home and one foot in Jerusalem. You are going up to the temple. And this would be a song that was sung by all the males, all the heads of household as they went up to the holy city, as they went up to these feasts and festivals to praise the Lord. And so what's on their mind as they're going up to praise the Lord at his appointed times? What are they thinking about? The very things we've been talking about. They're thinking about their departure, and they're thinking about their destination. They're thinking about what's back at home. They trust their wife. They rejoice. They can't wait to get back and see their children again. And yet they think of what's ahead. Jerusalem, the city of God. And of course, we know that to be a picture of the church. And so what should men be doing as they get together? They should be delighting in their wives and their children, not lamenting them. They should rejoice in God who instituted marriage and gives fruit to the womb. They must not forget that it is the Lord enthroned in Zion who blesses them. The Lord bless you from Zion. So they should long for the blessings of Zion, God's holy habitation. They should long for the blessing, peace be upon Israel. They should long for the blessings upon the church. Is that something that you long for? Be honest. Have you prayed for the person next to you in the pew this week? Have you longed to see blessing in their life? Are you more concerned about the blessings that you haven't been given yet, instead of rejoicing in the blessings that God has given the other members of the church? Because this is a call for blessing upon the church. A call to see yourself as part of a larger body. And so may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Peace be upon Israel. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Speaking of the church. Blessings of peace and mercy. Praise God. So when Adam was in the garden, surrounded by fruitfulness, he was given labor, he was given a wife to cherish, and he was blessed with a command to be fruitful and multiply. How did he fare? He rebelled against God. So does he deserve those blessings? So you, being a son or daughter of Adam, do you deserve the blessings of this psalm? No. These are blessings that are fit for one man. In fact, that's what verse 4 says. For thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. There's one man who deserves these blessings. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. For where Adam didn't fear the Lord and walk in His ways, Jesus Christ did. And so, Jesus Christ is delighting in His spouse, the bride of Christ. And He delights in the children, all the elect, being drawn to Him. And consider also that even though Christ deserved all these blessings, which ones of them did He receive during His life? Christ wasn't married when He was on the earth. Christ didn't have any illegitimate children for sure. He was willing to abstain from blessing. Why? He was willing to endure the curse of the cross. Why? Because of you. Because of me. This psalm speaks of the love of Christ. And He did those things so that the blessings awarded Him could be given to you. If you delight in any one or even some semblance of the blessings of this psalm, it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been merciful to you. So bow your knee before Him. Give thanks to our God. He is the God who blesses us. And not just scrapings of blessings, but multitude and multitude of blessings. Praise our God. Fear Him. And so put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These blessings are pictures of heaven. And so fear the Lord and rejoice in His blessings. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You that You are the man who would not be deterred from doing the will of Your Father. But You feared Him. You set Your steps one after the other in obedience. You delighted in the law of God. And You would not let Your eyes fall on wickedness to put Your hands to do evil. Lord Jesus Christ, You are good. And Lord, we thank You that You did this for us. Lord, cause us to rejoice in You. And where we see our brokenness, where we see the absence of Your blessing, let it call us to repentance. And Lord, where we see the abundance of Your blessing, let it call us to repentance all the more. That we would see our sins, hate and forsake them, and put ourselves fully upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that in Him we would rejoice in Your blessings. That we would fear You rightly. And You would be glorified in us, Your church, Your body, Your bride. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.